All right, well, Colossians chapter 1, let me get there myself, and then we'll make our confession together. All right, ready? I think we do have the same thing now. At least the words are the same, right? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I read these few verses in Colossians chapter 1, I just want to get you thinking about something here as we begin 2023. I would like to ask you to just think about this. What Christ-like virtues would you like God to increase in your life this year? Or what blessings that are ours, every believer in Christ, what blessings in Christ would you like God to increase in your life this year? I want to take today, Lord willing, and maybe the next two Sundays to share on this topic. And this is simply the message this morning from the scripture. I'll show it to you before we're done here, Lord willing. And that is this: God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Would you say that with me? God gives the increase. And there could be, there are many virtues. Even just thinking about some of the prayer requests this morning, it's good to seek the Lord for an increase in healing, for example, increase in health, so that we could give God our full service. Maybe increase in favor in a job position, somehow maybe something related to that line. Anything along the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, an increase in love, increase in peace, increase in self-control. So these are all great virtues, great Christ-like traits and qualities, but I believe the prayer here in Colossians chapter 1 gives us the root increase, the main stream of increase that God wants to give, from which every other increase flows. It's found in Colossians chapter 1. And I'll read verses 9, 10, and 11. But, well, let me go ahead. I'll just start it there. Verse 9. The Bible says this: "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will." So the first request out of several here in this prayer is that we would know God's will. Then he continues on and he says that we would not only know his will, but that we would know it in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we would know God's will. We would know, we would have wisdom. That's another good increase, isn't it? To have wisdom. So increase in wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So there is a prayer request to not only know God's will and to know it in a practical wisdom, but to know it so that we live it out, so that we walk worthy of our Christian calling of who we are in Christ, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. That's a great, aren't you glad God wants us to be fruitful? So God gives the increase. But then notice what he says in the next request. He says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I believe that's the main increase, that if we seek the Lord and we experience, we get to know our Heavenly Father better, then the others will come along. If we increase in our knowledge of God and we have a greater knowledge of who God is as our Father and drawing closer to him, then we will come into an increase of these answers, other requests, that we would know God's will, we would walk in a worthy Christian lifestyle, we'd be fruitful in every good work. Then he continues on in verse 11, that we would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So we would experience an increase in spiritual power according to his power, flowing out of our increased knowledge of God. And then the last part of that verse 11 says, for all patience, that word is also translated perseverance. So all patience, perseverance, and long suffering with joy. So do you see how the increase in the knowledge of God is associated with so many other good qualities and virtues there. And when it comes down to it, if you just want to write this verse down, it's in John 17:3. John 17:3, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says this. Here's what Christianity really comes down to. Christianity is really just simply knowing God, because Jesus says in John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Brothers and sisters, there is literally an eternity of difference between knowing something about God and actually knowing God. People can have some ideas and have some knowledge and awareness about God, but that in itself does not bring us into eternal life. Knowing about God does not give us the forgiveness of our sins, but we can have forgiveness of our sins and we can have eternal life, but we've got to know God through faith in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only one that gives this type of increase. God gives the increase. Would you say that again with me? God gives the increase. If you look back to Philippians chapter 3, for me, I have the book for him, so it's just across the page. But Philippians chapter 3, I'd like to read a few words of a man who wrote both of these books, actually, because getting to know God is a privilege. It's a lifelong privilege and pursuit. God is so great, we'll never get to know him fully as far as like, well, I know everything there is to know about God. No, you don't. None of us do. He's far beyond where, you know, what we can even attain. But I thank God we can know him. And out of knowing him, all the other blessings and the virtues and things that we want to seek, whatever it may be, they can be legitimate and great and good, but they should flow out of our increase of wanting to know our Father better. This man who wrote these two letters, he was powerfully transformed by Jesus. In fact, he went out on the first missionary trips. God used him. The Bible even says in the book of Acts, God worked unusual miracles by Paul. When he would work, some translations say it was sweatbands or handkerchiefs. They would take those from his body and put them on sick people or people that had demons, and the disease would leave or demon spirits would leave. So he wrote scripture. He started churches. Would you say he knew the Lord? But yet, look what he writes here in Philippians chapter 3, just beginning in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "What things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He said, I count whatever I may have lost of this world's goods or prestige or popularity, that was nothing. I just count that as nothing, just so I can get to know my Lord better. And he goes on, he says, "For whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ," verse 9, "and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law." I think as people, there's a natural tendency to say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I have gone out and, you know, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't done anything real bad. I mess up sometime, but I'm a pretty good guy. Pretty good isn't good enough. That's our problem. Our righteousness is not good enough compared to a holy God. And he knows that. So what he did is he provided his righteousness for us by sending Jesus to suffer and die on the cross, who died for our sins, bearing our judgment and punishment for us so that we can be forgiven. And it's that self-sacrificing, that unconditional love of God that when we experience it, it transforms our hearts. And the real issue we would even want to know God is because we've experienced his love, and his love in us inspires us to want to love him and know him. We've experienced something for ourselves, or we would never even want to seek God to begin with. But he said, I don't have any righteousness of my own, even if it looks like I could outwardly keep some commandments. But he says in the middle of verse 9, but I want the righteousness that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. When we come to that place where God's Spirit convicts us of sin and draws us to the truth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart and confess him, we are saved and forgiven. Verse 10 says that even after all these years, after all the miracles and everything God had done, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, yeah, I know him, but I want to know him more. He's my driving pursuit. He's my passion. I want to know my Lord. I want to know my Father like I've never known him before. And God will give the increase to that type of pursuit and desire. One more scripture. Would you turn back now just a few books to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just want to share two steps of how we can draw closer to God, how we can increase in our knowledge of him. And thank God that we can. Thank God for the privilege of knowing God. And God gives the increase. And of course, that applies to many areas. Again, I just want to center this morning on that one that I believe is the main one that we can get to know God better. And if we will do our part, God will give the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. The Bible says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. Let me pause right there just a moment. How can we increase how we get to know God better? Number one, we have to put forth some effort. We have to put forth some effort. How many of you have ever done any type of gardening, farming, flowers, anything at all? You've done some type of a little bit. Many of us, thank you. Maybe most all of us here. And even if you had just a small scale, whatever it may have been, you could have said, you know what, I'm going to believe God that he's going to produce this fruit in the ground, and I'm going to confess it in the name of Jesus. And you could be confessing that and believing it and doing all you want, but until you actually plant some seed, there's going to be nothing to increase. So there has to be some effort. There has to be something. A billion times zero is still what? Zero. God said he will increase what we plant and water, that God will give the increase. So if I want to know God better, I've got to put forth at least a little bit of effort to get to know him better. And so how do we get to know the Lord better? We get to know the Lord better through his word. This is so important, especially in an age where we, as a culture, we do not really accept anymore that there is any form of absolute truth. But it's your truth and my truth, and that's good for you, but this is, I don't accept that, and this is okay with me. The Bible says that Jesus said, your word is truth. And so I look at it, he's my authority. I'll say it that way. He's my authority. And so if Jesus said, your word is truth, speaking of God's word, I accept it as truth. And whether some of it cuts my heart and convicts me, whether I like it or not, it's still truth, and it's still God's word. And God has chosen to reveal himself, yes, in creation, certain aspects of his nature, but he's chosen to reveal himself more fully through his word and his will for our lives of how we can know him. So we seek to know the Lord, and we get to know him better through his word. We get to know him better through prayer. We get to know him better through worship, through fellowship, through serving. How many of you know it takes effort to focus? I mean, even right now, man, you can be praying, you can be in worship, and next thing you know, you're thinking about what you got to do at 2:00 this afternoon. Anybody relate? And so there's, you know, it's like, man, it takes effort for me to give God my attention, but he's worth it. I want to know him, so we have to put forth the effort. And then the Bible says here in the scripture, in verse 8, it says that neither he who plants or he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. God will reward us for seeking him. So we thank God that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And again, it's his love that we've experienced, unconditional, self-sacrificing love that makes a difference in our hearts and lives. And we want to know our Father. We want to get closer to him. If you want to get closer to anyone, don't you have to put forth some effort? I mean, that's true in any relationship. If you want to, before I give you the second point, if you just want to write these verses down, Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 6. I'll read them to you. Matthew chapter 6. And he taught right here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He taught about giving, and he talked about praying and fasting. And I'll just read part of them, verse 16. This is Matthew chapter 6, and verse 16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly." Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, if you do it with the right heart and not do it for show, not do it to impress others, to act like you're so spiritual to somebody else, he said, if that's all you're doing it for, okay, there's your reward. But he said, if you do it with the right heart, you don't have to hide it, but if your heart and motive is right, Jesus said, your Father in heaven is going to reward you openly. And thank God, I'd rather have God's reward than man's reward any day. Thank God that God gives the increase. And then Jesus went on to say in that same chapter, verse 33, Matthew 6, 33, but seek first, would you say first? Yes. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God gives the increase. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them God gives the increase? So the first thing we must do if we really want to get to know God better is we have to put forth some effort, and then secondly, we have to give it some time. We have to give him some time, and we have to give our planting and watering some time. I don't consider myself to have been any kind of farmer, but years ago, when I lived at home, my parents had a decent-sized garden in the back there, and I like picking some, you know, I liked eating the fresh vegetables when, you know, they came in. And some of them, like when the corn would grow up, that was pretty easy to take off here. I didn't have to bend over to get it in that hot August sun. But the squash, how many of y'all, you know how that squash, the cucumbers and all, and you got those big leaves and they want to hide up under there. So you have to dig up under there and look and see what's ready to be picked. Because I didn't like, this is me now, I like squash still a little bit on the smaller side, tender. I don't like it like this. I like it a little smaller. And I can remember going out, I mean, for a period of time there, I never saw one of those squash, never saw a cucumber or something just pop up overnight. It took time. But you know what did crop up overnight? I learned a flower. It's called a morning glory. I wouldn't have been the name I would have given it to it at that time when I had to go get them out of the way every morning. But they came up overnight. Well, it is a pretty little flower. It's like purple. It would just like be an almost like a little cone and just open up. But I didn't like having to pick them. But we had to give it time. And it's just like that. The Bible relates God giving the increase to not only planting and watering. We've got to, you know, put forth some effort, but we've got to give it a little time. I can't say, well, I prayed yesterday and God didn't answer my prayer. And then just quit. We got to keep on. We get to know the Lord. That's why I said it's a lifelong privilege and pursuit to know God, to get to know him better. But if we will put forth the effort, and if we give God some time, does it seem like to anyone else here that there is something constantly trying to get our time and attention? It's like we never get a break. Constant wanting to get my attention. Constant wanting to get my focus. Constant wanting to take my time. And some are good. They can be legitimate. But brothers and sisters, let's not sacrifice our getting closer to God for any of these things. Let's just make sure he's first and he's the primary pursuit. Because honestly, sometimes, you know, it might not even be a sin itself, but I could spend... We do what they call stream. Is it streaming now? Like you can watch a whole series a year long at one sitting. And it might not be that they're evil shows, I learned from a pastor, or maybe I read it from a Christian publication years ago. It was talking about TV at the time. And now, of course, we can add cell phone and social media or whatever. But it said, even if TV doesn't make us idle, or if we don't make TV an idol, I-D-O-L, it can make us idle, I-D-L-E. And we turn out that we've just wasted a lot of time. Again, there's a time to rest and enjoy and, you know, watch the ball game, watch the stream or whatever it might be, but not at the expense of our relationship with God. Let's keep him first. That's why we want to start this new year, and let's just make that commitment that we're going to just go after God with a fresh passion. Man, I want to know him. And yes, I have other requests, and I want God to answer them, but I want them to flow out of my walk with him. I want them to flow from my relationship. That's the kind of increase that I want in my life. God gives the increase. And we give our time to someone, it shows value. It means we value our relationship. So if we value our relationship with God, we'll not only give him the effort, we'll give him some time. And then over time, God will give the increase. Billy Graham said this years ago in one of the devotions. It was a year-long devotion he wrote. He said, life, think about this, however many years ago it was, life presents us with too many distractions, and the last thing we have time for is to be alone with God. Maybe you will have to readjust your priorities. Whatever it takes, make time to be alone with God. How many of us would be honest enough this morning to say, I need to readjust. I got to do a little readjusting of my time and my priorities. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but isn't it something how life can just crowd God out sometime, and we get busy? You know, we're just coming through a busy holiday season and all that. But to readjust, well, I look at it like this. Brothers and sisters, we're in a good place to start. Let's readjust, and let's make sure God is first. And again, all of the other pursuits and increase, let's seek to make God our first increase and the main increase, our knowledge of him. So just, I want to ask you to think about this, and I'll give you one last scripture if you want to write it down. But just please think about this. Again, thank God for every virtue and every blessing, but will you put forth the effort to seek the Lord, to know him better? And will you give some time, some of your time, whatever that is for you, I don't know, but will you also give some of your time to get to know the Lord better? And over time, I know God is faithful. If we will do our part, God will give the increase, and we will reap a harvest of a greater knowledge of God, and we will reap a harvest of every blessing that is ours in Christ, because God gave us to he gave them to us because he wants us to live in them. But he gave us to them because he wants us to know him first and to live it out as his witness and testimony. I'll close with this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, if you just want to write it down. Because you know we're going to face battles. We're going to face obstacles. There's going to be some days and you feel like you blow it. Please don't get discouraged and quit. God knows. God is with us and God will help us. Let's just trust him to help us as we seek him in 2023. And we will reap what God has ordained. The Bible says this, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, again, talk about sowing and reaping. Verse 9, we read these words, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. God gives the increase. Would you read this scripture with me? Can we read it all together? We'll be on the same translation if you read off the screen. Ready? And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God gives the increase. Would you say that with me? God gives the increase. Let's give him effort and let's give him time. Can we stand together? We'll close in prayer and prepare for this communion time.